Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Yeah, y'all thought you had a different station, didn't you? It's just that, you know, you got to be a little bit eclectic, wide, broad-ranged in taste of music. That's Eric Clapton and doing a live performance. I find all kinds of music on YouTube and all types of performances of various songs. And so Eric Clapton and that particular song was one I like. I had to switch it off before they started saying the words, though. This is Eric Payne, Citizen Payne, K's son and friends. We're live now, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, because we like to talk when we like to talk. Yesterday couldn't talk, we're talking today with the brothers Wayne and Byron, legendary newsman, legendary historian. So real quick, I want to start off things. I titled this episode, What is Service? Service. What is service? Political, social, personal, spiritual service. What is service? And, you know, the notion from a political standpoint, right, there's a tradition, at least an old school view of service, that people are of service, run for office because they want to be of service to their community. Right. Traditionally, from what I learned or from what I observed growing up, someone who spoke out for the people, for the community, and then eventually people said, hey, we want you to be our representative. They turn to a person. Eventually that person becomes a leader in the community or the group that they're representing within the area. And eventually they get talked into or people suggest them to run for office. Service. Spiritual service. You know, you got people who are concerned about their fellow man or woman, human beings. Social service, same thing. So I want to flip that notion, right? Because you can't be of service to people. There's obviously people who walk around wanting to help other people in the world, but if you're not in a position to help someone, if you're someone who needs service, needs help, then you probably don't have time to think about servicing someone else, right? Because you're trying to survive. So you probably don't have time to contemplate the next person because you're trying to worry about surviving. And if somebody's down with you, if they're in the same struggle with you at the same time, of course you might think about them. If you think about people like to pass homeless people or people that are addicted to drugs, there's a clique of some people hanging together. But it's their survival aspect comes in is what I'm saying. So service is something that I'm going to suggest for this sake of this discussion. Service is something that comes as a secondary nature, secondary to survival, right? Service. And so when I often have discussions with my father about politics, and he's talking people shouldn't go into politics because they want to enrich themselves, they should go in because they want to serve other people. Noble idea, noble concept. Not really true from my assessment and observation about life. And if we look back at history, and me being a movie person, Unfortunately, a lot of history has been revealed to me through the course of movies. Then, of course, finding out. I'm a person who likes to find out if that stuff was true. I don't just take what I see. But let's say Gangs of New York, for example, is something that we can talk about as something that's based on some sort of historical context. Probably not, because we know what people do when they tell their story, their version of a story. But let's say that Boss Tweed was this individual who was about power, right? Let's say the Declaration of Independence and the founding fathers of this country were guys who said, okay, we got to organize something. People came over here from England. They wanted to get away from the king's rule, allegedly, right? And allegedly, there was nobody here. And so it needed to be civilized. But let's get past that and talk about these individuals who sat down and said, we need to form a union, some sort of organization of the society that we live in. So we'll sign the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, and we'll make up these rules and bylaws, and we will serve the people. Clearly wasn't about service, because they had slaves who were servicing them. And so clearly it couldn't have been about service to fellow human beings, right? Because they had human beings that were slaves. So maybe it was a service to fellow white human beings at that time, but not all white, because they didn't consider women. So it wasn't about service to all white, and even it wasn't even about service to all white human being male at the time, because they were talking about people had to be landowners to be able to have some standing, if I'm not mistaken, and Byron can, when he jumps in here, can correct me. So it wasn't really about service, was it? It was about serving me and my crew and us in this room, but it wasn't really about service. They wrote these lofty ideas and these principles and all that, great, but that seems to me to be the PR aspect of what we're trying to do. Survival, power, wealth. Then when you get all of that stuff, when you're comfortable, then you think about servicing people. Then you can have the perspective of servicing others. When your belly is fed, then you can make sure the next person next to you is fed as well. It is the rare individual that naturally has service upmost in their mind before survival. Dr. King came from a middle-class background. Malcolm X's father was, a reverend. They were not poor. So when we talk of Nelson Mandela was royalty. So when people often talk about service, what are they really talking about in my perspective? I mean, it seems to me to be a certain amount of BS when you expect people to nominate a judge to be on the Supreme Court because of her service. Her service to who? And these individuals that are running for office because they want to serve people. But then you wonder why they get in office and they don't continue to have the same perspective about service as they once did. Because it's a job. Because you start getting paid for it. And how many people are really going to put their job in jeopardy? Especially when you get used to that money, making that new money for a certain amount of time. How many people are really going to say, you know what, I'm still going to stick with these values or stick with what I told her about what I was going to do. I'm not going to be political about it because I really don't care about this job. I really don't need this money. So what I'm saying to you all is, in that whole service concept, there's a whole bunch of other stuff wrapped up in it. Let's jump the fellas in. Byron Saunders, legendary historian. What's up, Byron? How you doing today?
Well, my brother, I love the fact that you're engaging in a conversation that's quite reflecting the position we find our country in today, and it is indeed about service, service to mankind, service politically, service spiritually, service and guidance, guidance to protect, and there are five core principles for service, even for those who are not leaders. Still, service has to command the concept of feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, sheltering the homeless, healing the sick, and giving hope to the hopeless. And if those five core principles of service are not primary in your existence, you need to ask yourself the question, what is my purpose for being? Because in the end, if you can't figure out, those are the ways in which you will not only serve yourself, you will serve your community, and you will serve your nation. And those individuals pretending or portending to want to be in service as leaders, if they do not have any of those five core principles answered in their political, educational, economic, spiritual values, why do you even consider them? Because they're going to lead you straight to hell, straight to death, straight to poverty, straight to an existence like right now, in which we have to really focus on what we're doing right now with a pandemic. It's incredible. Eric, we have crossed the Rubicon. We've infected over 8,016,448,000 people as of today, since February. And since February of 2020, we have killed 220,164 people in our nation. There are over 64 million people unemployed since that time. And yes, there have been added jobs, but they're not jobs of significance. In our nation's capital, there are dead 638 people, 66 people infected. In New York City, in New York City, Eric, there are over 23,915 people dead and over 246,836 people and counting infected. And by the end of this year, CDC says 400,000 people are going to be dead. So this question of service, thank you for asking that question, because at the end of the day, who is to blame for this disaster in our country since February? I know China had it before, but no. Once it hit our shores, there is a blame that has to be taken as responsibility by those who are in service to protect us. And these figures posted today, October 15, 2020, are up to date. And these figures are all began to explode since February 2020, so why would we even consider re-electing an individual responsible for first-degree murder of its own citizen? And that question is very paramount. And then think about this. Yes, we want service from all of our individuals helping to protect us, but then you bring in quack science into your mix of trying to convince us crowd immunity is going to stem all of this and bring us back to normalcy. Eric, do you understand the concept of crowd immunity? It means infecting people and they will be dead. That's genocide. That's not service. I hold right there because I can wax on of this about from now to the end of the show. But then you have to talk about those people who are responsible, like the Congress, like the Senate, and then you've got an individual who's only been a judge for 2 years in her capacity, supposed to be a constitutional scholar that's going to be on the Supreme Court, and she refuses to answer constitutional questions? This is not
okay.
A service. So we'll stop
there. Right there before we get off into that subject. Before we get off all into that. I know we want to get deep into that, but let's bring in Wayne here because, of course, our brother Wayne Gilman, the legendary news pet man, definitely has a perspective about service since he's reported on people that were supposed to be servants. Wayne Gilman, newsman, legendary.
Good afternoon.
Newsman. How you doing, Wayne?
I'm hanging in here trying to count the days, the minutes, the hours. We're 19 days away from decision-making day, even though that may not be the official date. But we will know by the 3rd of November where we stand in this contest. But I listening to both you and Byron about the whole issue of service, it's very important. I mean, elected officials, they are rated based on service to their constituents. And the only reason why they get reelected is predicated on the service of their constituents. It's funny, I was in another interview about a week or two ago, and somebody mentioned a reference to the late, great Percy Sutton, who I used to work for when he was an elected official. And someone would come to his office, and this included Charlie Rangel, who's still with us, and would ask, Mr. Sutton or Mr. Rangel, could you do me a favor? And Mr. Sutton, Mr. Rangel, the way I heard it, would turn around and ask, well, I would do you a favor, but I know you live in my district, my political district. Did you vote for me the last time? Did you offer any of your assistance when I needed your assistance to keep this seat? And, you know, I never looked at politics from that perspective. And when the person made this statement on the air, I said, gee, I knew these people very well, but I never thought that there was a whole issue of accountability. I thought the accountability and the onus would be on the person who was running for office to hold that seat. But we also have an obligation to support those who are thinking in our best interest to maintain, you know, what it is that they're doing, so constituency services can continue throughout where it is. Where I'm at an impasse where there's a roadblock where my mind goes bizarre is that we're dealing with someone who was never elected to public office prior to 2016, who is only responsible for the flourishing of this pandemic in this country, no matter how many people he wants to blame, and yet he is still getting support from people in all walks of life. I nearly threw up last night. I was riveted to an interview. I don't like to promote Fox, but every once in a while, my fingers will channel surf, and I find myself down there. And the deal is, again, I hate how our people are being used. Candace Owen has her own Republican agenda. She doesn't see nothing but just Trump. And they capitulated her against Cornel West, who is a liberal, but, you know, an old school liberal, almost my age. You know, I mean, I've been following Cornel for a long time. I do have a certain amount of reverence and respect for what he has done. But the deal is that we cannot afford to be coming up with all sorts of hypothetical theories as to whether this person is worthy or not, excusing his sophomoric behavior whenever he campaigns. We can't cloud the issues with our heroes. You know, I got to erase my Ice Cube hits from NWA back in the 90s and 80s because I heard he had a little quiet deal going on with Trump last night. I mean, I don't know what to believe anymore. I don't know why our folks don't understand what the fuck, I mean, what the heck is going on out here?
So,
you know?
So it gets back to service, right? Who's servicing you? What kind of deals you have? What are your vested interests, right? One of the things that they used to teach in civics classes, basically in high school, really, are what are people's vested interests in various interactions in life? What interests do politicians have? What interests do their constituents have? When you spoke about Charlie Rangel asking someone, have you voted, have you supported? That conversation was relayed to me by someone that asked him for support of someone I know, where he asked, do you live in my district? Do you vote? And it's an unfortunate thing, but that someone says that, when someone says, I need this and this, like, but it's also a challenge for you to get involved. For you to get involved in the things that affect your life and not just to accept life as it comes. So service sometimes is transactional, right? I give you this as quid pro quo, this for that. And what happens, unfortunately, for us, a group of people, a people that has been systematically oppressed by a whole group of people, and then once the system got up and running, all they had to do was just live and partake, not even actively, but just buy into those notions. Enjoy those shows or images that you see. Indulge those images and those conversations that you hear, as opposed to say, hold on for a minute. I know one that does not fit that stereotype, if you understand what I'm saying. So what do people have in their service? I mean, Byron, you touched upon the judge, right? And her not clearly when Cory Booker asked, where do you stand on the peaceful, or was it either him or Chris Coons, where do you stand on the peaceful transmission of power? Where do you stand on racial things and things that she doesn't want to get political about it, but that's the whole thing about it, right? Don't want to get controversial. There's certain, when you talk about what you don't know what to believe, there's certain core principles and values. There's a right and a wrong. There is a right and a wrong, despite what the current temperature in our country has tried to force us to believe. There is a right and a wrong. There is a black and a white. It is wrong to not, at least as far as we know, or at least as far as the standard operating procedure of this country has been for the last 100 and some odd years, it is wrong not to agree that a person we should have a peaceful transition of power. It is wrong for you to try to talk your way around it and say, let me see the circumstance with which that I might have to consider that not being the case. Or rolling back on voting rights or civil rights, it is wrong to say, well, let me see the circumstances around it because it might be necessary to vote. There's certain rights and wrongs, right? But it seems that when it comes to certain people or someone else and other and others' rights, someone other than you in your particular group, then it always seems to be up for debate. Then the service somehow gets changed. Service that you get when you go into a store that you might experience because you're a different color than the people would prefer to come in and spend their money. A difference of service, right? Even from our own, like you just talked about, Wayne, like you think, heard that Cube has a deal with Trump. Service. Who are they serving? So to me, the whole image of service and the whole facade of do it for this or for that, it's kind of bullshit. It's kind of bullshit. Because people can get elected with the best intentions. People can work hard to become a famous singer or actor or successful in one way, and they get caught up in the trappings of all of the superficial stuff, the people kissing their butt, the people giving them things, the crowds screaming when they walk in a room, and people just not knowing what to say. Hey, I just want to tell you you're so great with the service. Who's getting served then? So to me,
and I tell you, Eric, not to cut you off, but I think it's very important what you just said, because when you look at somebody like Cube, I understood. I mean, it wasn't necessarily part of my youthful era, but I was already in the midst of my career as a broadcaster, and I would listen, to some of the stuff that NAA came out with and would identify with what struggles that was about. And I would also listen to people like Chuck D and then Fight the Power. I mean, those to me were very, very relevant messages going out to the masses out here expressing our frustration. And then all of a sudden, this guy gets to a lofty position after Boys in the Hood and all these other achievements he's made. This is not to knock what he's done professionally, but you're sending out mixed messages when you're identifying and trying to do something with somebody I consider to be the enemy. I don't care how many times this man gets on the soapbox and says, I've done more for black people than any other American president since Abraham Lincoln. The deal is that I don't know why that is never questioned. Every time I hear it, I don't know why white, black, green, pink, any reporter, I don't know why that's never questioned. Even when it was brought up last night, just because he donated a handful of dollars to the HBCUs just to make it, everything he does is for political expediency. What is he doing for us when we're dying in the streets, as Byron said, when we're, you know, I mean, when the number of victims that we're going to have, you know, by the end of this year, we double the amount than what was projected 6-7 months ago. I mean, even if Biden gets in, we're going to have a multitude of problems until this guy leaves. And as you just said a moment ago, how does she doesn't understand why is, you know, having a peaceful transition of power? I'm talking about Barrett now, Coney Barrett, coming up with a statement saying that, you know, I can't give a comment on that. But yet, you know, when somebody asked her about Brown versus the Board of Education, oh, well, that's a super problem. Well, there are pockets of segregation and segregationists out here that would still like to see that undone 100,000 years, you know, now after it's been decided. You know, I mean, where do you draw the line? Why are we sitting up listening to this person talk her crap? Because it is all relevant. You know, you could come up with the dog and pony show. Oh, I'm open. You see my two little Negro kids? They're from Haiti. And I'm taking care of them, and they're no different than the things that the children I gave birth to. You know, this is all crap. This is all
I mean, I got a lot
okay.
of stuff.
Smoke and mirrors.
Byron, you want to jump in? I got a lot of stuff to say.
Yeah,
go ahead, Byron.
Because you hit upon something that Wade, you just said something that it sticks out about service. Okay. Yeah, she'll bring her black kids out, Haitian kids. But let's ask the judge, what are you teaching them? Because at the point in which someone pointed out to me in a picture, and I know you saw it, her kids sitting there, and the two little Haitian young kids sitting at the end. But you know what they pointed out to me? You know, I wish I could. I missed it. And I tried to copy it. But it was a meme that said, look at her eyes. Her eyes are screaming out, help me. And then you know what they pointed out, which even made it more significant, and only a black person could do this. They pointed out her ashy knees. Now, God, you know,
I missed that woman.
Your mother
yeah.
told you 1,010 times, do not go out into public with ashy knees, elbows.
I don't care.
They put that grease on you. But
exactly.
that's a white woman who doesn't understand cultural differences. And if she's going to parent African-American kids, especially from Haiti, do they know about Toussaint Louverture? Do they know about Dessalines? Do they know that the defeat of the most powerful Navy emperor in the world, Napoleon, that it was at that point the United States engaged in systemic racism by creating slave capture laws? So don't tell me you don't know about systemic racism when you are the very reason why a system continues to perpetuate it as a result of the history of the formation of this nation. Don't sit there in the Congress and tell me you haven't had these conversations and then be pointed out that you lied when you got the position of a judge instead of the black person that they wanted to put in, and that for 2 years that's all that you have done is to engage in destroying the Constitution by your opinions, which have been proven that you lied in front of Congress. I would say at that point, I would tell that individual, get up, take your family out of here. You're incompetent. Come back up into this hill until you can show me that you are qualified to be a Supreme Court judge. That's what we're supposed to be doing.
Well, see,
I'm ready to hand in my Catholic GO card.
It depends on the qualifications and who's doing the qualifying, right? I mean, you're referring to the lie that she told when Al Franken. I believe that's what you're referring to. When Franken questioned her about another position where she was up for an appellate court position and Franken questioned her about something that she claimed she had no knowledge of in these recent Supreme Court. But she's also off the Federalist Society list, right? And they were talking about how those individuals all have 100% rating, that they are followed through law school and they are, you know, on that list. And I know for a fact that, you know, people do follow promising up-and-coming people who could potentially be leaders. Sometimes they're philanthropists and various people. When I got elected youth governor of New Jersey through the YMCA Youth and Government Program, at one point I went to speak to a group of gentlemen that were supporters of the YMCA and other endeavors, obviously programs like Youth and Government, to talk to them about the benefits of something like that. And so I went to speak with my father and I. It was a luncheon, about 15, 20 gentlemen, all white. And as I think back on this, I've recently thought about it, you know, in my adult life, just the last 15, 20 years maybe, that when they talk about tracking someone, that's kind of, you know, where you get on people's radar screens, you know. They might be philanthropists or people who support those type of programs, and they say, oh, this is an interesting young person, an up-and-comer, and they're doing this and they're doing that and doing these great things. And they'll follow those people. And oftentimes those people might be in positions of power and influence in other groups where they share information about that. Obviously, maybe they're organizations similar to the Federalist Society and the like. So they follow these people. So you get, just like athletes, like they're doing with athletics now, following, tracking these kids at very young ages. So, you know, it's all about, like I said, who are you servicing? Who's the service for? You know, I mean, she's trying to get on the Supreme Court regardless. So she's not going to say nothing that could make any hay. Really, when I asked her if she would recuse herself from should the election come down to the Supreme Court making the decision, she didn't even answer that clearly. It seems to be clear that you would have to recuse yourself. I suppose you can parse pieces of the law and say, technicality, this is technically wrong. But really, on the overall, we know what they're going to do. It's like you're saying, Wayne, they all lie. You know, I mean, the bottom line is somewhere the truth has gotten lost, and the what is... so to speak, has gotten lost. We don't know what is. Is could be anything, however somebody spins it. And so that's why you have spin. That's why we got these shows where people tell you what you just saw. You know, obviously they're supposed to give you context for people who might not have understanding about the intricacies of government or history like we do. They might not be as educated. But then that's another aspect, right? Dealing with people who really don't know. They really don't know. That's why they're right and vulnerable to be misled by someone who's a crazy guy. I mean, yeah, he's not the first guy in history who's led a nation of people, or certainly a substantial number of people, to just anarchy and lunacy. He's not the first person that people believe, because you're dealing with individuals. You know, one of the aspects of that civics lesson is that the lack of education, lack of an intelligent thought on the various matters, and that's what brings me to Cube and individuals like him. A lot of these young cats who want to be involved and have opinion, unfortunately they have a platform, they don't have a really well thought out or well educated opinion. If you guys heard about Kyrie Irving, let me just say this real quick. If you heard about Kyrie Irving at one time promoting what he had heard on the internet, that the world was flat. I don't know if you guys ever heard about that controversy.
I didn't know.
But because someone was talking about it and they made, I guess, an argument for it, he retweeted it and repeated, the earth is flat. And so after people said, are you an idiot? What's wrong with you? I saw another clip, I didn't watch it, where he was explaining, you know, I got caught out there, it was a stupid thing to say. But I use it as an example. You know, if you're not being taught by someone you trust, or the things that I was taught by family members and brought up learning by people that are trusted, then you're going to be vulnerable to a lot of stuff, especially now when information can be hoodwinked. You know?
Yeah.
Exactly. And you know, Eric, you brought up Kyrie Irving, and here's another individual. We say we respect him, but I lost a lot of respect for him when he told me, by way of his own admission, Shaquille O'Neal has not voted. This will be his first person to vote in. Yes. Now, think about that. Think about that. Here's an individual.
Unfortunately, I'm not surprised. I mean, I'm surprised at that, of Shaq, but I'm not surprised at that level of individual that because just playing basketball. And he's from my area too, so which is really unfortunate that he didn't realize the. I thought that from his family members and some of the people I know that the importance of voting would have been made clear to him a long time ago, and that is surprising.
It is, but you see what it is. It's also indicative of we can buy you. A slave is bought and paid for. Okay.
Yeah.
There is a huge construct that you can draw a line. If I'm buying and paying for you, then you owe your allegiance to me. That's called slavery.
Mm.
All right. That's not the. Don't take the money off the table because if money wasn't on the table, he'd be a slave. Money's on the surface and gives him some kind of status of higher calling. The same thing for this clown that we got in office. He's not an American citizen. He doesn't believe in the American ideal. He believes in the Trump ideal.
Right.
And that's all that matters.
If you're going to be in service, and this is the quality of the character of the person in service, who has over 215,000 people dead on his watch, what kind of service is he giving?
Or who is he servicing in that? Who gets serviced in that?
Exactly.
But I also feel that if we are at a position in our community that we're looked upon, I mean, up to two nights ago, and I guess it's so funny that you mentioned the business of Shaq. I sometimes go into YouTube and I watch the old ball games between, Michael Jordan and Shaq. You know, the competitiveness, the growth of Kobe Bryant. I think these guys, I mean, apart from my adoration because they're sports figures, but they also influence a lot of our people in our community. That's why I was so taken back when I heard about Ice Cube, because, you know, I figured there was a certain level of intelligence about the frustration that they came out of to produce the artistic license that they had to make themselves who they are today. And I understand Cube is a successful businessman, you know, and I'm assuming because he's successful that his political intellect would probably be on the same caliber. But I don't understand.
It's a natural assumption.
Eric, you're right. No, but I had no business going there.
You know what the saying is? You can take the nigga out the country, but you can't take the country out the nigga.
Well, I was going to that's one way to put it. Thank you. That's as raw, direct from D.C., they don't play. I'm going to put it like this. When you start getting, and Sidney Poitier comes to mind, excuse me, when you start getting that treatment that in O.J., that you're not treated like everybody else.
Okay, yeah.
You're getting a little bit of different treatment. And this just doesn't go along racial lines, obviously, but it is most devastating to us since we're black, and most devastating to black people that it happens. But when you start getting, you know, anybody start getting treated a little bit different, people start saying, "Hey, how you doing? Hey, what you need right there? Hey, right this way. All right, hey, how you doing? Everybody knows you, everybody loves you." Then sometimes, if you're someone from a different group, getting treated all of a sudden, you're treated different. You're not like everybody else. You don't have to catch the same hell because mostly everybody knows who you are. Or you can drop a name, or if you're politically connected, like moi, you can hear all the craziness. And then when you say, "Oh, my name is so-and-so," because that's what I call having recourse, right? That it buys you out of the trials and tribulations that everybody else might have to deal with: power, fame, money, access. So then you walk around a little different. You might forget where you came from. You might forget that there before the grace of God go I. If I didn't have this now, I would be getting treated the same way as everybody else in my situation. You forget a little bit. right? And then if you really hadn't had that foundation of understanding to begin with, like someone like Colin Kaepernick, like someone like LeBron,
mm-hmm.
right? Then you're going to be led astray. And I've heard, you know, and I disagree with LeBron when he had the issue with the China issue, when they talked about their rights, and some of the people were saying, well, they are have an issue with human rights violations, but they're the NBA's biggest contractor, and LeBron came on the side of business, of the business aspect. Okay, that's understandable, and there's ways to work,
mm-hmm.
but people fall in various places of various perspective of the images where they fall. But for the most part, individuals like that, like Muhammad Ali, like, I'm not going to give up my soul to gain the world, no matter what you all say. Those are rare individuals, right? But so, you know, you couple all of those things, you know, the lack of knowledge, the lack of that foundation to understand. Then you get treated, you know, I'm different now. I could get, you know, the grandmother who got set free, who got paroled by Trump, you think she's not going to vote for him? Can you blame her? Could you blame her for not voting for him? I mean, could you blame her for voting for him? No. This is the guy who let me out of jail, regardless of anything else y'all are saying. I understand what y'all are saying. This is my
Well, yeah.
isn't it? I mean, that's a hard
thing,
but
you just said it a moment ago, man.
Different equation. Money on the table puts it in a different equation. Because when you say you're bought and paid for, there it is. Yeah, you got me out of prison. I wasn't supposed to be there in the first place. So you're picking me, you're cherry picking me, and I've made friends with all my prison mates who most of them say I was innocent. Those who committed and say they were guilty, they're willing to pay their time. But you're going to cherry pick one? Uh-uh, that's not prison reform. That's
it's like you owe me. As you said, it's slavery. It's slavery.
Yeah.
You owe me now. You know, I just bought my vote, and I got all your cronies to come up and parade in front of the White House, supporting whatever it is your agenda may be, and I want you to have some influence in my election. But as I said, I mean, as you said a moment ago, Eric, I mean, it still doesn't matter. You know, you're Eric Payne. You're driving down the New Jersey Turnpike. State Trooper pulls over. Never forget what was happening about a dozen years ago. And I had gotten it's irrelevant what award I received. The point of the matter is the fact that people don't stop to say, well, maybe he's going 5 miles over the speed limit. Let me let him go. No, they see somebody black. And they get pulled over. Doesn't matter that they come from political aristocracy. It happened to the district attorney in Hudson County, a black woman, some years ago. She was going down the Jersey Turnpike and got pulled over, you know? So, I mean, the deal is I'm with the Colin Kaepernick. I'm with the Muhammad Ali's because I know no matter what shade I may come, what miscegenation might have come in my family, what political influences I may have, when I'm walking out my door, I'm a black man, and I'm just as subject to any other treatment than any other black out there. I died laughing to myself when this woman testified that me and my black children cried to see the George Floyd video when it was replayed in the news. We cried. The whole family cried. They were up in... Did you explain to them what happened? Did you explain the injustice? And there was no comment on that. And I have to give credit to A.B. Klobuchar that, you know, she acquitted herself thoroughly with this woman because every time she and Harris, every time they threw questions at her, you know, she couldn't come back. And that's why I get upset with when these people ask Biden, well, are you going to pack the Supreme Court if she gets in? Well, my thing is, if they ain't saying anything, why must I reveal my hand? You know?
Also,
right.
too.
And that's exactly
mean,
what.
Also, too, is that they kind of broke the norm when they did what they did to Obama. So, I mean, you know.
Exactly.
This is how they play. They're hypocritical. You know, I just want to say really briefly, I have said before on our broadcast how I didn't care that much for Senator Klobuchar. I'm changing that now. That changed when she dropped out of her contention for the vice presidential candidate and said, I think it should be a woman of color. In this time, now is the time for that. And that's what I'm talking about when you talk about service, someone doing something bigger than what they immediately want. And also how she's been questioning. So I got a whole newfound respect for Amy Klobuchar, you know, than I had before from some of the previous things I heard about her. So my perspective has changed about her, because that's what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. So Eric, and since we're on service, and they did bring up spiritual, since he's Catholic, Biden's Catholic, but mm-hmm. here's the question for all you good pro-life people. So let me see if I got this right. So a fetus in the first trimester should be protected by the state, but a one-week-old newborn born in a detention center can die of a treatable illness, and that's the parents' fault because they tried to for a better life? No, but did I get that right? Because this Christian stuff is confusing me all of a sudden.
Yeah.
So which side of pro-life are you on? Are you pro-life to protect the fetus, but your pro-life social programs is killing him the first week of his life because his parents tried to find a better life in a country they were escaping that was abusing their lives? I don't know that. Which part of Christ are you following?
And that's a stronger argument than the capital
than the
capital punishment argument. That's a stronger argument.
Sheltering the homeless, healing the sick, and give hope to the hopeless. I don't believe any of that was in the first five principles of his Christian doctrine, because he wasn't Christian, he was Christ. In his doctrine was to serve mankind, not serve government, not build walls, not make guns, but to serve mankind. So if you're going to be that follower, cannot be pro-life and then commit those lives to a short-term life because they're not wealthy. They're not privileged. They weren't born with a silver spoon. Get out of this conference room. You don't deserve to be considered a judge. That's Solomon's job. You're not a Solomon. Leave this chamber. You're disgusting us.
So what do we do now? Because it looks like she's, a shoo-in at this point. Do we pack the court?
Yeah, she's a shoo-in. Yeah, but you know what? There's impeachment. There's no there's no one above the law here. And this next term around, you're going to see that phrase come up with the removal of unqualified judges. For life, I don't care. They lied. She lied.
Yeah.
That's perjury.
Yeah,
she doesn't deserve
to
be in any kind of way determining someone's constitutional rights, someone's civil rights, when she has already perjured herself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's provable.
Yeah.
Just like Kavanaugh, he perjured himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say real briefly, Wayne. I think karmically, I have a feeling that one of the other justices, I don't know. It's just, you know, like this guy was talking about Corona is hoax, no Corona, when he knew all the time, and he ended up catching it. So I think that I don't know what might happen in the future. I'm not wishing anything on anybody. Well, there's a couple of people that are wishing on, but.
Eric, who do we blame?
What happens,
who do we blame for Kamala Harris's two aides catching coronavirus? Who do we blame for that? Who do we blame for the infection of a spreader who engaged in knowing he was a spreader, knowing he was had the virus, tested positive, and he shows up, and his vice president shows up at a debate where a fly lands on his head, knowing that he's landed on some shit. Come on, who infected those people? Who infected her two aides?
But we knew that, right?
We
knew that. We called
that
being part of their objective.
Yeah, right, exactly. But see, that's the part in which we have to be conscious enough to ask those kinds of questions of the public, to say once and for all, if you're Candace Owens paid those brothers and sisters to come to that event, not wearing a mask, but wearing a T-shirt. Oh, my goodness, wearing a hat, but infecting them. That's first-degree murder.
Listen,
that's murder.
Byron, you and I could go down to 125th Street, Lenox Avenue, and get 150 people who are unemployed and say, hey,
yeah,
we're going to drive you down to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. All we want you to do is stand up there and act like you're praising, you know, the second coming of Christ. And we'll give you $1,000 each for your time. And that's what I thought that was about. And I wouldn't put it past him because he's already come out publicly. He has an organization where they're paying black people to just support his candidacy, to get the word out. So who's
yeah,
to say
that's what
that,
people do.
You know,
Pay campaign workers. Here's $50 for the day. You guys put these T-shirts on and pass these flyers out. Same thing. It's the same thing. So here's $50.
My wife,
you guys put this stuff on and show up at the rally.
My wife took the test. She is now a certified contact tracer. I've learned a lot just by the conversations.
It's not an easy exam,
okay?
I understand.
That's right. So in essence, if you refuse to allow the public to know who you've been in contact with, knowing that you were at an event that you engaged in where you didn't give people an order to command them to sit down in the Rose Garden where you were announcing your choice for Supreme Court. And then after that, we have gotten how many people out of there have been, including Junior, you know, his son? God bless
his son,
him.
Byron,
he has to go through this. But that is the point at which and then you got Chuck Todd from NBC holding a town hall meeting for this clown. I mean, this is where media comes
tonight.
The complicity of their pushing this virus all across the country, because at that point, you should not be involved any way possible with that event. And they're calling him out.
Well,
they're asking for his resignation, and they need to. NBC service, are we not talking about service? NBC
I hear what you're saying.
Of service.
You know,
I peeped Chuck a long time ago, B, but go ahead, Wayne.
Yeah.
I agree with, you know, I watch a lot of MSNBC. I don't necessarily agree with all that Todd does. You know, I know it's a judgment call, because I think they were supposed to have the debate, if I'm not mistaken. I think one of their correspondents was supposed to be a host of the second debate. So when that caved in and he wanted to do a town hall, because remember, Biden had already done a town hall, and I watched an interview of Kamala Harris, between Kamala Harris and Rachel Maddow last night. And Rachel asked her, what do you think about NBC, you know, having this clown on tonight to do a town hall meeting? And I guess, you know, it's a tough call to make, because you don't want to show that there is a bias, you know, but at the same time, clearly the agenda at MSNBC, CNN, and all the progressive outfits is pro-Biden, you know, as Fox is pro-Trump. And all those that follow that you know, political ideology. So I don't know, you know. I mean, I'm not saying that it was a good thing for them to do, but I have to say that they are far more progressive with the parade of people of color I've been seeing on the tube on that station that I hadn't seen in years. And I'm going back to the time when I was sharing a microphone with Rachel Maddow, and Keith Olbermann had that job. You know,
right.
It's like when they got rid of that guy Chris Matthews. It's like the floodgates open. All of a sudden, I even sent an email to Joy Reid. I said, congratulations. You know, I mean, I am much too old to be in the position that she's in, but I do know the importance of what that means to crack the glass ceiling, because when I was coming up, it was like Noah's Ark. Two come in, two must go. You know,
right.
It's
you
crazy.
Know. Yeah, but in terms of it being news, obviously you see why they're going to do it. It's going to be news. I don't know. I mean, as you talk about, they're more progressive and all that. Is telling the truth being progressive, or is it just telling the truth? And it seems that
it seems
to me that MSNBC and CNN. They are closer to telling the truth and reporting objective news. I certainly understand the business of news, and obviously, you know, they're feeling that it's a bigger news event, and they're willing to, if you can make a case for risking people's lives, to have this guy. But that's the objective of the Republican Party, right? I mean, once enough of them got it, clearly their objective is to spread the disease. I look at Mike Lee the other day showing up at the hearing. How many of them have their mask off? And Rand Paul did it when he had it earlier. He still was coming to work. So clearly that's on the table as being one of their tactics in terms of their battle against the Democrats and anybody who disagreed with them. Obviously, now they're admitting it by saying, let's have the herd immunity now, so let's let more people die off. So I could see them, you know, if you're going to be Machiavellian about it, I could see them saying, yeah, if we can even infect a couple of them and they die off, you know, that would help us too, you know. And if a couple of you guys are feeling that feel a little bit better, stronger.
I find that insulting, man, because when I think of the word herd, I think of cattle. I immediately
right.
go to cattle, you know?
You should.
So for them to
mean?
Even...
That's how they look at the masses of people, like cattle.
Exactly, like freaking cattle, you know? Insulting.
I mean, you know,
but
I mean,
what
if you're not...
Do?
People go to 5,000, and you guys are talking about Candace. I didn't watch Trump's rally. You know, I might try to check into what they say, him and all the other Republicans, just to keep an eye on them. But, you know, my opinion is already made up. They're liars, and they're going to, you know, it's just interesting to see how much they lie and how creatively they lie. But I guess from what you guys are saying, that Candace Owens, and we got just under 2 minutes, she was at the event yesterday that Trump was at. There's 6,000 people in Florida. Was that what you guys are saying?
No, I saw her in Fox last night with Cornel West. I don't know if she was in Florida.
Back and forth. I see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're 19 days away, and let's give honor to the 15 million people who have already voted. You know what?
I'm among them.
That's historic. That's historic.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay, well, let's get ready. We got 90 seconds, guys.
You want to
give your sign off there, Byron? You want to sign off to the people?
Absolutely.
Give them your last words.
I felt my power yesterday. I voted. Why don't you feel the power? Make the change happen. You have the right and you have the power to do it. Vote.
Brother Byron Saunders is coming with the heat rock. We'll talk to you again, Byron, soon.
All right, brother.
Wayne Gilman, the legendary
news
man.
Hey, man, I can't even top that. I'm just going to quote my brother Chuck D and say, fight the power, vote.
There it is. Wayne Gilman, we'll talk to you again, my brother. Thank you.
All right,
thank
all the best.
Soon. All right, bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we think about service and what service should be. It was really a lively discussion. That just came in my head, but I knew the brothers would have very strong opinions about that and some very fantastic ideas and perspectives about how we need to address these things. This is Kay's son and friends. I'm Kay's son. This is our Thursday afternoon version. We're going to do it again real soon, if not tomorrow, maybe Saturday. All right, we'll talk to you soon. Kay's son and friends on the Blog Talk. I'm the EP, Citizen Pain, Wayne Gilman, Byron Saunders, Kay's son and friends. Later. Here's Chuck D.